there's a lot of information just to learn. A copy.
She probably bought it in my or something. I think I'm selling. We got one from the, the food breakfast. I can even see it in there. I got two. We just see that.
That was just raining.
Well, how did the two of you meet then? Met in Napoleon.
No, he boarded with an uncle.
Me and an uncle made cousins.
Lived together. In Detroit. After the uncle's divorce.
We had a big upstairs.
Tell them what you did downstairs.
And when they get through working in the sugar booth, they always came to Detroit. That is our bad, to work in the lumber company or any factory. They keep the job. And my uncle, in other words, them days during the Depression, everybody was selling home brew, and they always called it the blind pig.
Right.
They used to have a picture sitting in the window with a pig.
And that's how you would be. Oh, that's
everybody was doing
it. Right, too.
And what every end of the week, if they didn't want anything or anything, his cousin was a good cook. And he cooked, and my job was, I was working 12 hours a day at CMRL. And then my job was, when I came home, watch all the bills.
And many.
Yeah. About every second or third day, I had a bottle, and it was 20 gallons of it. And that was my job to do that. That way it didn't cost me nothing for board to stay there with my uncle. Mm-hmm. And then when the end of the week come, whatever we ate or whatever we cooked out, we added that up and split it in three, and that was our board.
That worked out really well.
Yeah.
And we lived upstairs then. They rented us his upstairs, but they didn't need that. That's how we lived.
So that was in 1920s then?
Oh, yeah.
1929. Because it got made in 1930.
I know. You only lived there 1 year? Huh?
No. 2 years now.
Okay, sure. It was 1928. Yep. And then we got married and moved from the Cleveland thing and
I know we couldn't imagine what it would be like.
No, they called this a depression. That is nothing like that.
No, because you didn't have no welfare, and you didn't have nothing. Nothing. You had to get on your own and do the best you could.
Now, his beard, well, I think that's the uncle, is all the people that worked in this young factory. They had to be at all. And it was all that kind of trade. No, how much was your pension?
No, a quarter of a bottle. No, And that's what I was getting on the July. No, 66 cents.
In Detroit. That's right.
44 cents on the street car. So.
You know how much when you come to the job? 50?
Yeah, 50 cents.
50 cents an hour.
22.50 or 40. That's what it costs for them.
And that's what Dr. Carge charged for us. But he says, how much a week do you make? And he said, $22.50, and he said, give me $20.
That's how he set his rate.
Yeah.
He said, you can make a shimmy
day. That was good.
Mary was $45, 9 days in the hospital. And that's when he said it again.
I'll get a sugar daddy.
Oh my God, yeah. But it was hard then too, so. These kids and build my house. That would have maybe 50 cents left like you used to saw. Maybe. It's the same thing really. But we did it. Except when we went once a month and my mother came in and I was the only kind of great for days. And I sold half of them all. Without paying, I mean, she
right.
Got her car filled up with gas. And went for 50 cents. Opened up with that.
Right.
And it was a disaster if you got sick. You know, the kids left sick. Boy, you didn't go to the doctor till it was really absolutely necessary. You just couldn't save enough again.
When I was working there too, if you had sick or anything like that, you still weren't to work.
Right.
You couldn't afford to lay off a bit. It's a good thing we was lucky. But I always had a good form. And if, say, for instance, something would happen at the family or something like that, he'd let us off, say, maybe 3-4 hours, and next day he would let us work overtime to make up for the few loss. Or I could change it in the afternoon and shit.
Yeah,
we were all.
I don't know. Can you do that in Florida? If you're off, you're off, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it was really a nice place to work.
But I worked on the machine shop there for all that time. And the only time is when the production shut down, that's when we worked steady. Because we had to repair the machine for the production machine.
Right.
And we worked long hours.
And during 4th of July always.
Yeah.
And I and the kids went to
the foreman always appreciated that your kids stay on the job to get the production going.
Right.
Or even if they had a breakdown on production, you stayed to fix that till it gets going.
Kind of different than the mentality of today.
Yeah, but not today.
But it seemed nice when you got an extra couple of hours. You know. That was put away. You never used because you got along without it before. So.
Yep.
You figured that too. Hey, when you get a raise, you don't go out
and go. The raise you have to give them. The overtime, you don't go
that. Well, yeah, okay.
Generally, if he gets laid or anything else, he's going to be going up.
I know that. But I had a whole bunch of envelopes, even for our paperboard, which was, I think, 15 cents a week. And I took like 3 or 4 pennies in there, so I'd have it at the end of the week. Never did we owe anybody anything. I had the envelopes for everything, and because my fish should be in out of that 22 pages.
Well, of course, you didn't have that. Plastic cards before they got the date.
All that temptation.
We never bought anything unless we had the money.
Right.
That's the way things were.
Well,
a card.
Well. But then that $3.50 or $4 a week, you know, it lent maybe $20 a month. I talked myself hoarse about this to Mary. She still hasn't worked that. They just are broke today. Broke next week, you know. She's already wanted to buy her money when it was payday the next day. I said, for what? And she said, the garbage cans are on sale. I said, just let them be on sale. If you haven't got the money, you don't need, you know, buy her money for that.
Yeah. So you built your house, what year did you say?
46.
Yeah, we did that all the way.
That was a big initiative.
Yeah, and we looked over the bills the other day and guess how much it cost, but just the lumber and the doors and the cement blocks and everything.
I wouldn't even have a guess.
About $1,800.
Oh, my God.
It cost my dad $8,000.
And that was, you know, good.
Yeah, because it cost him twice as much for that to just be cooking.
Like us, when we put the siding on and when we did the paneling in here, it cost more than the house originally.
Right.
However, and the people that, one of them, remembers they had steel strikes, help down here, which we could have got lots more information, but we did.
That's, you know, most of them are, really.
Yeah, really, the rest of them.
So you were working at Consolidated at the time of the strike, of the movie strike. How, do you remember how you felt about them, what was going on? Did you?
Well, it's just about the, I think it was about the same time when the reparations was on strike.
One of the men from there, Leo Roberts.
One was Leo Roberts, who lived across the street and he was renting on Michigan Avenue. And the poor guy had how many kids he had? Two.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on the strike too. But I was working, and I'd give him so much money every week so he could buy his groceries, see? And then for that, he came over here while I was working in the daytime, and he helped
here
and there.
Yeah, I think
you
guys know what you mean. Feel that they were in the right to strike?
Oh, what?
The reunion, I think so.
Yeah, that's, it's good to hear that for my point of view.
Yeah.
But I know, just from a little bit of reading that I did, there was a lot of resentment.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Well, the way it was in my mind, it was right there on, well, they call it now North Dixie, but it was M50. It turned right there on Allen Avenue. And of course you had the railroad track and the reparation is right there too. And they were, reparation was protecting the Union, and so was Newton Steel, because there was only one road going there. So, that's where all the trouble. In other words, they had these strike breakers from Toledo, Detroit, coming in there. You think they were coming through. That's where everything started.
With clubs,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was a mess.
And I can't remember how long it lasted.
Mm-hmm.
All summer?
No, it lasted, I'd say, 2-3 months. And, see, where Ford Motor Company is now, that used to be when I worked on the railroad track. We used to have a streetcar run to what they call the Monroe Piers.
Right, okay.
And it used to circle there and then come back to Monroe. So when I worked on the railroad, the DOR, I always called it the DOR, we had to walk that section every Saturday to see that the tracks were right and all that. And that's the only way you could get. And then it used to be where Ford is now, used to be Johnson Island. There used to be an island there, and there used to be a big hotel.
Yeah, that's all in the book, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And,
but Newton built, though. They built their steel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I
think because they had water and everything.
A lot of people was upset because new people come in and they were.
Well, it wasn't that. If
people
you
from
were,
out of town, huh?
Yeah. Then they, Lockwood,
Rocks,
and all that. That was one family in one row. I don't care if you went to one store or you went to a dozen. The prices were all the same.
They were
running one row. That's what, if they didn't want it, that Newton Steel in there for the simple reason was, of the taking the they, in other words, Ben Monroe, these people couldn't dictate to these people because they might go out of the Toledo or the truth.
Right.
And the only one, only road there was the North Dixie. Because the telegraph road wasn't built there yet. But after they built the telegraph road, then Toledo and Detroit, that's where one road split up.
And I think a lot of streets sort of feel like that. They don't want nothing to use coming in.
No. Well, pretty hard to. Maybe the next generation coming into the place is going to slow down on that stuff. Yeah.
I know we moved in here in June, so it must have been done then.
Yeah.
I don't know about the strike not being done. It was all summer. You just partly remember that. That's
oh, right. Oh, right. It gets hazy. Right.
And then it just tells you the hazy side of that. That's your report. But can you imagine
no,
that being...
No, it's been budget.
Well, that would be
yeah.
Being an island first, that's hard to remember.
Yeah.
Well, I like it.
Johnson Sound.
Yeah, see, Mark's got a picture, an aerial picture of Fort, and it's completely surrounded by water.
Yeah.
Completely surrounded by water. It's weird because you don't, well, because you don't think that you're going, when you go down there, that you're going between water, but you are. And he's got a picture, and it shows the whole, the parking lot and everything, the whole thing completely surrounded by water. It's weird.
See, the, Gail, actually the river region that's going out now, that's not the...
Original one?
No, the furthest one over. That's the originally one that curved on, mm-hmm. out to where Detroit Edison. That's actually the river region.
Mm-hmm. And they rerouted that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you remember them doing that?
Oh, yeah.
That must have been a mess, too.
Well, what I would like to see, in my, and I still see, they wouldn't have all that trouble with the ice and all that, just take that island out there on the other side of the, well, right there by I-75, you know, you got an island there, the one that's before you hit the bridge.
Right.
They ought to take that, because that's not about to hold the ice back all.
I think 50 will take these shots.
Yeah, that's the general. It's got pictures in there from Johnson Island.
Yeah. You'll enjoy that.
Yeah, the old pictures aren't what's really the clear idea.
Well, we got one there from the father.
The boy.
Yeah.
The nice blue one. Lambert the boy.
Oh, okay. Good show you bring him back. Oh, that, yeah, I'd appreciate
this. Where did this one come from? We bought it at the Monroe Community.
Long
oh,
time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They had a sale. You know, I mean, they... had a thing in the paper, so we ordered it. But Dad always talked so much about the history and stuff. But that's good. I like that.
So what was it like trying to date during the Depression?
Yeah.
When you were dating, when you were going together, your times were so hard and
yeah. All we did was go to the movie.
What?
Go to the movie for a date. Plus I had to take my sister off. Had to be home by 9 and all those things.
think if you ever know any foreigner, that's how it was. You didn't do anything.
Hello.
And he did 5 times.
And 20.
Yeah.
There was pretty cool. 6 wheels on it and a rumble seat in the back.
But that's all we did on Wednesday and then Saturday night or Sunday. That's all. We never did anything. And there was that park, that amusement park.
Jefferson Grand Oval.
Yeah.
They call that electric park.
There was the skating coaster. I never skated. I never owned skates, never owned a bicycle.
In my day. Expensive.
Yeah, oh, I suppose, yeah. Imagine. And you did though, and you had a bike.
Well, of course, my dad did in Europe, he had a bicycle.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a bicycle.
That is before the war. And he got time while all the soldiers and all that, they were on bicycles. And then when the war broke out, well, he lost everything. So, he knew all about bicycles. And whenever somebody discarded an ordnance or something, he used to pick up parts and then bought a few things here and there and then put them together.
Do you remember when they made the decision to come over here? Was...
Well, the decision over there in Belgium was everybody took... See what made it bad is the people that were over here
seeing their
visitor relation or something like that. Mm-hmm. Big shots, they made themselves look big shots. That's all you have to do over here to get here. Take the money off of the tree. That much it was, you know, plentiful. And my dad that time was working for the streetcar over Europe, and we got enough money together that we all came. That's the time we come. Of course, probably we came in under a half fare, and it took us something to pay.
So Paul, the graduating ones up.
Well, we came to. We landed in New York. From New York, we went to where the Statue of Liberty is.
Uh-huh.
Then we went underneath the ground there and ended up in Canada. And then we threw Canada all the way to Detroit. And that train or whatever it is, where we put it on. Put that on the barge and went to Detroit across the river. That's where my aunt and uncle met us.
That's the only brother
she has. That's how come.
Right.
I can remember that all the time. So.
That's really
exciting. Yeah, and then my, well, my cousin, boy, he was working at that electric car, you know. And he had tickets for everything.
Oh.
Yeah, made it nice. Yeah, the one that was. Yeah, you were our sailor. Yeah. But as far as in Europe was concerned, when the war broke out, we were living in the city, and my parents couldn't afford us. So they sent me and my brother to on the edge of Holland and Belgium. One to one aunt and one to the other. And of course, when the war was going on, the parents couldn't come to see us. So we didn't see our parents for 4.5 years. And that's why her mother couldn't or her parents couldn't come because they were in this country.
Right.
And that's why they were with their aunt.
Right.
But as far as a lot of them ask me, don't you ever feel like going back? I said, no. Because, you know, I'd seen enough of it. And going home. No parties.
This is home now.
But she's been, her folks and them, they went back two or three times after the war. Still, of course, her relationship is still over there. Well, of course, I got a lot of aunts and uncles in Antwerp, too. If I don't care for it, I don't care.
Right.
So what's the use of going?
Right. Doesn't interest you. So, and let's do it. What's your first name?
Anna.
And do you mind telling me your age?
74.
So when did you come to the United States?
1940. It's all in the book here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this?
That book, yeah.
So that was nice. I know. What's that?
Somewhere in the 50s.
Oh.
His golden book?
That was his favorite teacher.
Oh, she was your teacher?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
She even autographed her book for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Well, I mean, he's very into machines. But I will write it for your mother.
Let's see, I knew your mother's name.
Maria.
And she was also born in Stettin.
Yeah.
His name was
Leo.
Do you know where your father's parents were born?
Also there.
And same with your mother's and too?
Mm-hmm. And my dad and mother came in 1918 before the war. Over.
Oh, they did?
They did. We must have been before that. We were there. I was 10 when we came over and she left us when we were 6. They were 16, not
right. Mm-hmm. Who took care of you while you were over there?
My aunt. My dad's sister.
So then, when you came over in 1920, did you come to Monona shortly after that too? Or?
We came to Detroit and worked, my parents worked in the factory and the Navy and also in the Napoleon, Ohio, to be civilized when we came back. But I was then off and on in Detroit for 1930 when we got married. 65 years Friday.
I think that's so great. I think that is just great. You know, I'm going to stop this and pick it over and start the other side.